This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
LeBron James speaking out. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perl, you got to go back to the All-Star game on this one.
Okay.
But Anthony Edwards, obviously the star from the Minnesota Timberwolves, was asked about, you know, becoming the face of the league. And to paraphrase what he said, he's like, you know, I don't want to be the face of the league. That's really something for Victor Wembanyama. And also, I don't want to deal with the criticism or the, like, attention, the negative attention that comes with being the face of the league. Right. Now, newsflash for Anthony Richardson. Anthony Edwards and Anthony Richardson. You're going to get criticized no matter what, whether you're the air quotes face of the league, which is not like a real thing. It's like an agreed upon thing.
Yeah.
You're going to get criticized probably no matter what, because that's what happens when people live in the public eye. It's just how much do you want to pay attention to it. Now, LeBron, who is the face of the league and has been for quite some time, was asked about it yesterday, and he says he completely understands why Anthony Edwards does not want this moniker.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but, like, I don't know. Why do you want to be the face of a league when all the people that, you know, that cover our game and talk about our game on a day-to-day basis hit on everybody? Have that responsibility. It's just weird. It's weird energy from the people that, I don't know.
Okay, more from James. So he's saying there, why would you want to be the face of the league when people who talk about the league and cover the league talk badly about the league so much? He said on a daily basis. More from James. Didn't ask to be the face of the league, but he knew it was a responsibility coming his way.
And said he don't want it. Obviously I didn't ask for it, but I knew there was a responsibility for me, not only to my family, my friends, my community, and whoever that was going to follow my journey throughout my career, not only in Ohio when I started there, but all over America and all over the world when I traveled all over the world. So I've always taken that seriously and understood from the beginning what being a professional was all about and being a role model was all about.
Last one from James. Says he understands where Anthony Edwards is coming from, that he doesn't want this type of attention.
I feel Ant. I understand. I completely understand. This is weird energy when it comes to that. So,
okay, weird energy about being the face of the league because you get criticized by the media.
Is Anthony Edwards widely criticized? I totally missed that. And for what?
No, I think LeBron is widely criticized, but yeah. Maybe he feels that way. I guess here's what I would say about LeBron, and I think what they're talking about is mostly inside the NBA, right? So
is that all they're talking about? Is one
Kenny
show?
And Shaq, I mean, listen, it's a show with a lot of influence. So
four guys. What that affects the entire state of how LeBron feels about the NBA. He's a four guys.
Come on, man.
I guess I would ask this. I mean, maybe I don't know. He'd have to get specific. Is he talking about Charles, Kenny, and Shaq? Is he also talking about on social media where you get a lot of backlash? Now, LeBron is also, because he's so famous and at times so polarizing, he's even gone, like, the Fox News people have taken shots at him. And, right, you know, it's crossed over, right?
Right, but some of that LeBron stuff goes beyond the actual basketball game, for sure.
Let's talk about the sports part of it, though, right? About, yeah, like, being the face of the league. This is what I would ask LeBron James. Like, would you trade the type of impact you've had on people and influence you have for the criticism? Because, like, being criticized by the media is one thing, but let's not pretend like LeBron hasn't become a worldwide figure who enjoys not only influence, but, you know, riches and all of that because he is the face of the league. So would he say, listen, I'd give it all up. I'd give up all the positive influence that I've had building my school, you know, doing all the other things that come with being the face of the league. I'll give it all up if just Charles and Kenny would get off my back.
No, I didn't say so. I'm going to knock your ass out.
Like, I don't think he would.
Wait,
you know?
do Charles and Kenny come after LeBron? That's another thing I'm missing. Besides, I don't even think they're that negative. For one thing, Shaq has been talking way too positively about Joel Embiid his whole career. I'm like, Shaq, what are you seeing? I've always wondered. Have they been killing?
Love's a big man.
Do they kill LeBron? Like, LeBron is LeBron. I mean, he's like the consensus number one or two player of all time. Like, I don't feel like LeBron has taken criticism, but I don't feel like it's like out of balance. Like, he also gets praised all the time. He's
so
LeBron James.
He took criticism in a few big things. One, for passing the ball too much, I think, in big spots early in his career.
Right.
And for the
which is kind of fair.
And the decision.
Yeah. We all hate the decision, but that was 14 years ago.
I think he's made amends for that. I would
say, is that what he's talking about?
Listen, I would say on balance that he gets a lot more positive coverage. I think basketball-wise, I think people marvel at what he can still do at 40.
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe LeBron is a little, you know, some of the stuff looks a little look at me, but I think we'd also say, well, the guy's kind of earned it. I think there's another thing if you're saying about this era getting criticized. Take it away specifically from LeBron. I think this era gets criticized a lot because, you know, people don't like the amount of three-pointers. Maybe people don't like how guys switch teams all the time and can resent some of the player empowerment. But
Load management
I think is a huge one. Yeah. And so I think this era being criticized is one thing, but being the face of the league, I think you generally, the power and influence that comes with that title, I think generally outweighs the criticism you'd get.
Oh, yeah. But
is
to
what
me,
I would say.
I don't even see the same way. I'm like, ooh, how old is LeBron? He's what, 40?
40.
Yeah,
40.
He's the ultimate millennial. Of course, he thinks he's over-criticized. He wants everyone just to be super nice to him. This is like, to me, that's how I see the entire millennial generation.
Oh, that millennials like me and EJ, we can't take criticism?
Yeah. Sorry.
You know, here's the other part about this. I think, not to bring it back to this sports radio topic, but I do think the LeBron Jordan part of this conversation probably adds to some of the agita that's around LeBron for
definitely
some people, right? Because his insistence, you know, in a lot of ways that he's past Jordan really chaps the what gen are you?
Gen X.
Gen Xers like you. And so, well, you think the millennials can't take criticism. I think the Gen Xers are really quick to, you know, to kind of feel like you got to put LeBron down because how dare anyone ever compare him to Jordan?
Well, I think it's I understand what you're saying. There's probably some truth to that, but I think LeBron looks at Michael Jordan and said, nobody ever criticized that guy. Like he's saying in the past, everybody was on board with Jordan and now everybody's critical. That I think there's two separate issues. Is that fair to say? Because I do think nobody criticized Jordan. Why would you criticize him? He won the title every year.
Not every year, but the revisionist history of Jordan will be the same type of revisionist history that we're going to do on LeBron, by the way.
But he got killed before. Like, Jordan did take criticism until he started winning every year. Then,
so
what
are
you going to criticize? You know,
but LeBron has won, and he still continues, you know, because I think the Jordan comp plays into this perceived negativity. Because, again, I think it makes the Jordan people feel insecure, and it really hurts the Jordan people, like, on a deep level. And I think it probably looks like criticism to LeBron when it's really just a sports debate.
I just think at the end of the day, if you're the flagship show of the NBA and you talk so often about how this generation of players aren't good, the style of play isn't good, it's a different thing. It's different than social media, or it's different than some guy on his couch talking about it. When this is not some podcast, right? This is Inside the NBA is a flagship NBA show. Like, we can downplay it as four guys, but it's not. They're literally doing the games that are being called, and sometimes they're talking about the players that are literally playing in those games.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a frustration with constantly always having to be compared to other eras.
Sure.
You mentioned Michael Jordan. I can go to every guy that's won an NBA championship for the last how many years, and all of them have had something they've had to come overcome. Jokic, he's a stat patter, said on ESPN. Yeah. Giannis, he's got no bag, said on ESPN, said on Inside the NBA. Every single guy that comes up to a point, as great as they are, it's like we can't appreciate their greatness because they haven't won a title, which gets back to the ring culture.
But can you be critical of a guy? Like I think if the criticism gets personal,
It
has gotten personal, but I think that's where it oversteps. Whereas opposed to if you're saying Jokic is a stat patter, like that is actually a sports conversation. I don't think that is so out of bounds or means that you hate the league. I would also say I don't think this is just unique to basketball. I feel like I watch Al Michaels sometimes on these Thursday Amazon games, and he's openly like has disdain for the product that's on the field. And I don't think it hurts the NFL, and I don't think the NFL players really care.
Yeah, I mean, also too, I think if TNT all of a sudden got positive, people don't want to see that. Nobody's just going to want to watch positive coverage of the NBA.
A lot of people do want to see positive coverage.
Well, when they
coverage.
Deserve it. When you deserve positive coverage, right? When you do things that are unbelievable, that's also, you got to tell the true story of the sport.
I don't think that's entertaining. I think ESPN and I think like when the media is critical, it's more fun to watch and it makes the whole thing more interesting. Like, honestly, I think if TNT all of a sudden got positive, then somebody else is going to get negative and everyone's going to want to watch that.
Mm.
Like, that's why do you think people like Inside the NBA compared to ESPN?
Because they're funny. It has nothing to do with being
very
negative. Every clip we play from Inside the NBA on the show is because they're having a good time. It's not because J.J. Redick's an idiot or something. Like, that's not the fun part of that show.
Supposed to be one, two,
I don't know.
Three,
I feel like people like to see guys get ripped. Like, it's kind of, it's entertaining.
I just think when we compare how the league is compared to other sports, and maybe Al Michaels is a fair point,
but
I
that's
think
ridiculous. Football guys get killed all the time. Every player gets killed.
I don't
except
think
Mahomes.
We make fun of Aaron Rodgers a lot.
How about Lamar Jackson gets killed? Josh Allen gets killed. Everybody gets killed in the NFL.
Right, but it's not about you're talking about with Aaron Rodgers. It's not about his play. It's about all his other stuff.
Well, and sometimes it's play.
Sometimes it's play, but a lot of times it's not. We all acknowledge Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, right? We all acknowledge there are guys who are some of the best players who've played in this game the last 10, 50 years, and there's question marks whether they're even good.
Right.
Every time I say, hey, you know what, Russell Westbrook's had a good career, I got to hear Pro Off say he's terrible.
Yeah.
But, like, that's my point, though, is that, like, when it's different. It's just a different energy, and I think there's not really a celebration of the league.
Well, so
and I think that's
the thing,
why
though,
these guys are upset about it.
A lot of times, though, they did call James Harden, like, the great scorer of a generation, too. Like,
no, that was Maury. That wasn't the media.
Oh, get out of here.
I think there was a lot of
the media voted him MVP.
I think that, the media members are the ones who made him the MVP. But I asked you, I asked you, though, like, who is there not a joint responsibility when you, like, honestly, I think the person who really could actually have a gripe here would be Durant. Durant, who's actually had this top 15 of all time career, who gets called a bus rider and who gets this and that, right? And he gets criticized. But I ask you, would we all say that Kevin Durant is completely innocent in this conversation because he made a decision to join a 73-win team?
Come on, bro.
People aren't just going to welcome you in with a red carpet for that. And he goes back and forth with people on social media and appears to look petty. So, I don't think you can blame only one side. I do think there are guys who do contribute to, like, it's a stars league, and sometimes the stars kind of behave sort of.
Besides
like
Durant,
he's an idiot.
Who else? James Harden shoots back at the media?
Oh, at the media? Russell Westbrook. I mean, you're talking about him. He definitely. Fans, media.
Fans, for sure. I mean, sure. Okay. Russell Westbrook hasn't been a star in a long time, though.
That's fair. But again, like, it has, like, a lot of influence. I mean,
well, I'll tell you one thing. Like, I don't tell me Steph Curry gets a lot of criticism, because like I feel like Curry doesn't get criticized a lot like Durant. Like nobody, I know he's petty and all that, but generally I feel like Curry has been above all the criticism and the media kind of loves it.
Yeah.
But they also blame him for the style of play. It's the, yes, maybe he's not getting the direct arrows, but what he has brought to the NBA is constantly told over and over again that this is bad, that all the shooting the three-pointers is bad, and these stats are inflated. Like, I mean, at a certain point, if you're constantly comparing yourselves to previous eras, you can't win. You're chasing ghosts.
Okay, but I ask you, though, is the NBA, by a lot of metrics, aren't they winning? The guys are richer than they've ever been. They are getting, I mean, it's the salaries are amazing for them, right? Yeah. I mean, the super max is $350 million. You just re-upped your television contracts for billions of dollars. Like, you know, yeah, the All-Star game sucks. Okay, well, you know, look at what hockey just showed us. That's fixable. You just find the right gimmick, and all of a sudden, everyone's going to be into it. Like, I really ask, like, where?
What's LeBron complaining about?
Kind of.
Like, yeah, he just like made $1 billion.
Well, I'm not just saying it's the money, but that's cool. But he also has this great influence. He does have his school. Yeah. He does get awards. You know, he also gets a lot from this that I don't think he would trade for Charles and Kenny poking a few jokes at his hairline.
Adam Silver has said that this is the most depressed group of NBA player he's ever dealt with. He's been in the league for multiple years.
It's also the most depressed group of young people that we've ever seen in our world. And they are they're young people just like Manny's generation. Right. And you guys unfortunately are very depressed.
Oh, yeah, I'm very sad.
Maybe social media and the phones too. Maybe that plays into it.
I think guys they'll say that they don't talk to each other on the team planes anymore. And everyone's just kind of into their phone as opposed to doing like the team building and bonding. And
I'll tell you what, we call guys street clothes. We talk about Zion being fat. Like, I mean, some of this stuff is just like, I don't see how this stuff doesn't get personal.
Look like Chuck and me had a baby.
How about Luka? Luka.
Oh my God. Doncic,
I mean, he's been run through the ringer, and that hasn't necessarily been the media. That's actually been the Mavs, so I wouldn't really put that on the media per se, but I mean,
Harden. No, we've done this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's, I just feel like with other, there's no, I just don't think there's other sport where we look at the style of play, and I know, because I've introduced this conversation in the NFL, and it goes nowhere, that we look at the way these guys play is hurting the league. And these guys aren't as good as the guys that played in the 80s. We wouldn't say that about baseball. We wouldn't say that about hockey. We wouldn't say that about football.
I'll tell you two things. I think what you're hitting at, too, is guaranteed contracts annoy people. So James Harden gets, like, multiple years with this huge money and then puts on weight and disappoints. And we kill baseball players for that, too, by the way. And baseball has become irrelevant, too. It's not just the NBA. Like, MLB would kill to get criticized by some show. Like, nobody even cares about baseball on the national level. So, I don't know. I feel like the guaranteed money with Harden was a problem. I think people see, like, he's getting $60 million. The NFL, if you disappoint, you just get cut the next year. Like, I think people, the money does make it, maybe fair or not, when a guy's getting a $300 million contract and then inevitably gets old, like, he's going to get a lot of criticism. But LeBron, why? I do agree. Like, LeBron should get criticized. He's out of control good for a 40-year-old. So,
he's redefining what it means to age as an athlete.
I don't think he gets criticized so badly. I think he is, and I think he's being
from
oversensitive.
Basketball people.
And I apologize for ripping all the millennials listening. But it just seemed like, why was it?
And we don't accept your criticism nor your apology.
But LeBron was just so like sad in that little quote. I'm like, come on, dude, you're LeBron James. You are playing amazing basketball and producing three films simultaneously. Like, you have it all.
Yeah, if LeBron can't be happy, I mean, what?
I mean, yeah, right, exactly. Like, what?
Netflix show, he looked pretty happy.
Maggie, I mean, the guy is putting in $1 million into his Halloween costume on Netflix. Like, he's leading an incredible life.
We talk about LeBron James. I mean, did he not just have a bunch of questions about what kind of father he is because of the Bronny thing? Of course he did.
Oh, well, that was Stephen A.
If you're asking us not to, these are the people to make fun of Bronny, then forget it. Then
no,
you're
but I'm saying,
okay,
though,
but
like,
you give Stephen A. the oxygen.
Really?
Like,
he's going to run for president. Like, this is not a small figure.
Okay, but here's the thing. But you like, it's like the Doug Gottlieb. Like, yeah, LeBron also shot back at Doug Gottlieb. Like, you choose whether or not you want to give oxygen to Stephen A. and Doug Gottlieb. LeBron,
stay off the weed.
LeBron could always. He's so famous, respected, everything as an athlete. If he wanted to stay on the high road, he could take it forever.
By the way, EJ, you're not saying that we shouldn't make fun of Bronny, right? Because that's a bridge too far.
No, I'm saying the personal aspect of it.
I've
taken shots at Bronny.
Yeah.
But like, you're talking about why he feels this way. I think that, I mean, ooh, these are the things that bother people.
That's it.
bother him.
That's the bottom of the line of this.
What's it?
He's upset because people are making fun of his son. Is that why he's so sensitive?
Yeah, but we're talking about face of the league stuff. That's pretty far away from the nepotism stuff. Also, LeBron has to know he's going to get a little criticism for that, and I don't think he cared.
Yeah.
I just think there's a basic level of if you don't like the NBA, why are you covering the NBA? And I think that's a question a lot of fans ask. If you watch some of these shows and you watch some of the coverage of this guy not being good, that guy not being good, the style of play sucks, this game that's on sucks, then why are you doing this?
Okay, but
you could totally put someone on there that would totally be fine talking about the Thunder versus the Bucks. There's a good reason to want to talk about those teams.
Right.
If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Nobody's put a gun to your head.
Well, but you said it. It's an entertaining show that's funny that people like to watch. So that I'm talking about for TNT's part of it. And, you know, there's another part of this, too, where you can say that about, you don't like what's going on in this country. Leave. Listen, I don't hate it's not that I hate the country, but you can disagree with some things in the country. It doesn't mean that you want to get up and move to Kazakhstan. You know, like you can love the sport and still be critical of it.
No, I think if you are critical of sports because you love the sport, I think those guys love the sport and that's why they're upset at this. I think that's a sign of love for the game. I don't think it's like, and also too, it'd be so boring if they were kind of positive. Like you don't want them to be overly positive because then it sounds like they're shills.
You want to be authentic.
It's a hard line. I kind of like the criticism. I think it's fine. I think it adds to the drama. These guys are also former players, so I am going to continue to make fun of Russell Westbrook. I don't care what you guys say.
No one's taking that away from Farwell. not you, not Chuck, not Kenny.
Hey, come on, EJ. Say something nice about my Sixers. How can you not criticize teams that are supposed to be good and then stink?
But I think it's just the pendulum. Like yesterday on the show I did earlier this week, Tim Hardaway says that LeBron's not a great scorer. Like some of these things is just like, all right, like what are we actually doing? And we laugh.
Definitely has the scoring title.
He scored the most points ever.
But like, also it's Tim Hardaway, so like maybe he's got an axe to grind. I don't know.
But I don't think that Tim Hardaway is some like fringe. Like I think that's the difference. Is that I think that you guys think that like these people aren't inside the NBA or any other show. Like they're the fringe. I think these guys deal with that when they leave the court. I think they deal with fans who parrot a lot of things they hear on TV. I think it doesn't help the league. We talk about the league making a lot of money, but the sentiment around the NBA is down. I don't know how talking about the NBA in a negative way
helps.
Salaries
are up. I think that's right. Some of the older players look at what guys are making and are just like, come on.
Yeah, that's totally.
I think there's a little jealousy.
I think the fans, too. The fans are like, what are you complaining about? You're making a half $1 billion. The playoffs are going to be great this year, but the regular season is too long and load management sucks. I'm just putting that out there. The playoffs, just go to the playoffs.
Clip that, send final. It to Adam Silver.
And they all know it. Cut 20 games out of this season, then we'll all come back.
Adam Silver tried to cut 5 minutes off of each quarter, and people like were like, get him out.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was going
get
crazy.
Get him out of here. Okay, lots to do. You can weigh in on the state of the NBA at 855-212-4227. Do you think the players today have anything to complain about with media being critical, like Charles and Kenny and Shaq? Let us know. Okay, lots to do, including, more from the Luka trade. We got to get to this, and we will do that next.
Supposed to be 1-2-3, not 1-2, back to 1.
Perloff, NBA, it's on our minds because Prize Picks is signed on. The second half of the basketball season and the race to the playoffs is heating up, and the best place to cash in on your favorite sports is, of course, Prize Picks. Now, I, your friend, big winner last night, Pearl.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was locked in to the NBA and my bet, which I'm bringing up right now, vamp for me for a second. This was my Draymond Green, 19.5 points, rebounds, assists. Thankfully, went less than on that one. And Bradley Beal combined made me a winner. I love Prize Picks. You know that it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 10 million members and now available in more than 40 states, including California and Texas.
So I opened up Prize Picks this morning, and Michael Porter Jr. is on there at 6.5 rebounds. I'm like, ooh, that's a lot for Michael Porter Jr. He's hit that number 11 games in a row, and he's had double-digit rebounds. Is Michael Porter cleaning up the glass? See, I could say something nice about NBA players.
There you go.
Especially when you're in Prize Picks and you just look at the numbers. They do get numbers. So all you have to do is download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP, and you get $50 in bonus promo funds instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on PrizePicks to get Get $50 in bonus promo funds instantly when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get the $50 bonus credit for just playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Just had a really interesting debate about, is the NBA coverage too negative? I got all these tweets. I was just looking at my phone about all the other things. Charles is negative about everything. Charles Barkley of TNT. Galveston Beaches, the women of several cities. Like, Charles goes after everyone. So
he's an equal opportunity offender.
It's not just the NBA. And EJ said this last time, but it is kind of funny.
I mean, didn't he almost like come to blows with some people, I think, in Golden State, right?
Yeah, it was San Francisco. Oh.
What's that?
Yeah, San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah. He was like really going back and forth with the crowd in a way that I think got a little intense.
Yeah, they were screaming at him. I saw that. He did a live show there, and they were all over him.
Which I think is something, right? Like, you know, we talk about these players like being sensitive and stuff. Well, Charles Barkley, you know, shoots at the Warriors and their team, and then he goes to San Francisco, and then, you know, he wants to throw stuff in the stands. Like,
nah. He's like a unique kind of thing, though. He's his own entity.
Yeah, I mean, people ask Charles Barkley about stuff that's so far away from sports. Like, they want his thoughts on politics. They want his thoughts on the state of the country. Like, he's kind of one of those unique ones. Let's go to T-Money, who's in Tucson. What's up, T-Money?
Yeah, hey, thanks for laughing at my name. You know, as far as being sensitive, I don't know, dude. Like, the NBA, like, if we're just talking about stuff that's off the court all the time, that's the only news the NBA makes, right? It's never what's on. And then dudes are crying about it. And I'm like, if you don't care, if you guys don't care about your sport, then I don't care. If you're playing lackadaisical and load managing and doing all kind of crazy, jacking up threes somehow, I don't care. I don't care anymore. And if you show me that you care, then I will care again. When I was young, Jordan cared. That's why he's the GOAT. LeBron, he's just kind of half-butt and lackadaisical, and he gets super sensitive about stuff. I'm done, man.
Wait, T-Money, come on. Hold on one second. LeBron James is lackadaisical? Like, okay, you want to say, but there's been a couple games where he takes a little off on the defensive end. Dude, he's 40.
Yeah.
Right, I get it.
You don't think he's committed to winning?
Hey, you know what? The difference between Mike and LeBron is Mike was winning Defensive Player of the Year award.
Sure.
LeBron hasn't won that. He doesn't play defense. He's, I guess, what is he? He's D'ing up the worst player on the team, according to Spiffy T or whatever his name is. Like, come on, man. Like, everybody sees it.
Wait, but T-Money, I mean, yes, LeBron James is not winning. Well, he actually makes some all. Does he? LeBron made an all-defensive team? I think that he actually has.
He's a runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, I will tell you.
I was going to say, he's not terrible.
And J.J. Redick yesterday said that he's right. He's been playing all NBA caliber defense this year.
The other part, too, is LeBron's a way better passer than Jordan ever was. So, one skill set, another skill set.
Oh, I don't know about that. Jordan was could pass the ball. He's not way better. He's just more willing.
Come on.
They dude, compare LeBron to Magic Johnson.
You should see some of Jordan's passes. But yeah, again, Jordan could do no wrong. by the way, LeBron is he's not lackadaisical, but I remember last year with that Lakers game. When LeBron is off camera, I actually saw in the middle of an offensive set for the Lakers having a discussion with Maverick Carter on the sideline and laughing about a movie. He takes plays off.
Did anyone say that about Reggie Miller, who was drawn back and forth with Spike Lee? I mean, this stuff happens.
He wasn't taking that play off. There was 8 seconds left in the game. I'm just saying, like, the NBA, I do think, like, and maybe it's my imagination, like, the stars, for whatever reason, went a little harder for 82 games, 40 minutes in the past. It was stupid, come to think of it. But, like, I do think there's some validity to that argument. Like, now the culture has changed a little bit where you want to conserve energy. That is fair to say.
I think the load management is sometimes not just the players, right? And I think you can find examples of both. Like, I can give you a Joel Embiid, I think, which really annoys people that he doesn't play and that...
Well, he's hurt all the time.
Well, now he's hurt all the time, but, you know...
He wasn't a particularly bad load manager. He was just... He can't stay healthy.
Okay, and what is one of the reasons? Doesn't take care of his body. You called him a non-serious player. People like that. I never watch Shea Gildress. I don't watch Donovan Mitchell. I don't watch Anthony Edwards and think, man, these guys are really mailing it in. you know, wow, I don't watch Jalen Brunson and think, boy, I really am getting scammed here on a ticket. Now, he really doesn't play defense, but I still feel like he's trying.
I don't know. I watch a lot of NBA games where sometimes a game feels like it's going one way and it feels like the teams just exit. Like, I've seen a... But maybe that's...
But
like
I saw the T-Wolves come back from a 22-point deficit against the OKC the other
day. Massive comebacks this year.
Primetime's felt pretty flat to me. Like, and you mentioned something earlier. Like, the Bucks are on every damn TNT game. Like, nobody wants to see the Bucks. I'm sorry. They're just boring.
I don't know why they keep putting them on. I don't get it either.
Has anyone else noticed that?
Oh,
every single night, Milwaukee is on. And then the Sixers and Warriors is the 8:30 ABC game this weekend. What an idiot put that game there.
Your guess is
the Sixers get primetime all the time. Even I don't want to see
it. I think they make the schedule maybe too. They can't pivot. They can't flex.
I thought they did do chunks of the season. I don't know.
I would think. Why not, right?
They definitely can flex some games. I don't know if that one can be flexed, though.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Again, load management is a big impact. That's all I'll say. Like, I'm not criticizing players. I'm not saying that you mentioned Shai Gilgeous. That guy goes 100 miles an hour all game. He's great. But, Mag, you have to admit, aren't you more interested in the playoffs than the regular season here?
Yes. But, you know, I think I'm more interested in the hockey playoffs than every game. I'm more interested in, I don't know, are we still going to be more interested in the college football playoff than we are? Like, that's just kind of the way sports is going. The only season that I feel like I follow game by game, besides football, because there's only so many of them, but I follow baseball game to game more than hockey or basketball. I don't know why. Maybe that's a me thing. Bogish is here with the latest.
Guys, things all of a sudden moving pretty quickly for Matthew Stafford and the Rams and Raiders and Giants. The veteran QB expected to meet with his current team later today about their future, and maybe that'll be a trade to Vegas or Jersey. We're told that Stafford's camp has discussed a two-year deal with $90 to $100 million guaranteed with the Raiders and the Giants. The Chiefs will have Travis Kelce back for next season, and Pro Bowl guard Trey Smith expected to stick around through the franchise tag. That's worth $23.4 million, which would make Smith the highest paid at his position, passing Landon Dickerson. Take that, Philly. The Golden State Warriors were about to hit halftime, down by 17 in Orlando last night.
Curry, three-quarter court, lets it fly. It's good! He hit it! One dribble, one shot. Curry from three-quarter court knocks it down. And if there's anything that might give you some life and some momentum heading into the locker room, it was that.
Tim Roy, not wrong. Curry would outscore the Magic by himself in the third quarter, 22-21. The Warriors rallied for a 121-115 victory and a five-game win streak. Curry finished with 56 points, hitting 12 total threes. LeBron and Luka combining for 54 points, and the Lakers 111-102 win over the T-Wolves. L.A. now 14-3 since January 21st, and the Bucks down the Nuggets 121-112. Giannis 28 points, 19 rebounds, and 7 assists. Second straight night with a buzzer beater in the Big Ten, just not another Hail Mary from behind half court like Michigan State hit at Maryland.
Finds Wolf to Burnett for the win.
Got it!
That's it. Short and sweet on the Big Ten Network. Kamari Burnett, a wing three at the horn, number 15 Michigan, sidestepping a home loss to Rutgers, 84-82. Women's number 3 Notre Dame losing at home to number 24 FSU, 86-81. The Irish have dropped two straight, now tied atop the ACC with NC State. And on ice, Vegas outscored Chicago 7-5 after Edmonton lost its fifth straight, 4-3 in Florida. The Golden Knights have a four-point lead now on those Oilers atop the Pacific Division. And I should mention as well, Alex Ovechkin played last night, did not score. The Caps lost again as well, so he remains 12 goals shy of passing Wayne Gretzky for the most all-time. Back to you guys.
Folks, thank you. Have you guys been glued to the Gene Hackman story?
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday and what an icon he is, and just movies, sports movies, which comes more into our, you know, sandbox. And, you know, he's passed away at the age of 95. His wife also was found dead. She's in her mid-60s, and the dog. And we all thought yesterday, what a horrible story. Something tragic must have happened, carbon monoxide poisoning, something like that. But now it looks like they're saying, Bogues, I know we've been keeping up on the details of this. They said there was no signs of a gas leak. I think they might still have to do some toxicology reports, but some just bizarro details on this one. Yeah. Yet they insist no foul play, no foul play.
That's the weird part.
Yeah, but they've used the word suspicious in like the filings to get, I don't know, warrants or whatever.
Yeah.
So because I guess it doesn't look like they all just passed out and died from carbon monoxide. Like the dog right. was in a closet.
Yeah, what's up with that?
And there were other dogs live running around the property, and Gene and his wife were separate, and they seem to be in different stages of like death or like
decomposition.
Decomposition.
Yeah,
after the
wife was in. Yeah,
and there were pills by her, so it doesn't seem
space
as...
Space heater near her head as well?
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that part.
I saw that. They said it could have been if she fell. Say she passed out and fell. That could have fallen with her. Like a space heater could have accidentally fallen with her. But she also did have some prescription drugs, they said, were right. like in her hand or something.
Which,
close.
Again, I guess if she did just fall
faint,
over and die,
yeah.
she could have had them in her hand and
sure.
they would have been next to her. But it just,
And
now
he was
it's
in
weird.
The mud room, right? So he's like by the door and she's in a bathroom.
And they... did say that it looked like he did fall suddenly. I don't know what that means, if he like the things like pulled off the wall with him or he fell onto something. But yeah, it's just it was already weird and eerie. Now it's even more so.
So wait, can they, this is dumb, not like you guys though, can they just measure to see if there was carbon monoxide? Why is that ruled out? It still sounds everything you describe sounds possible.
I don't know if you look a certain way if you die of carbon monoxide poisoning, but it said there is no obvious signs of a gas leak.
Right, so they obviously could do an autopsy and we'll figure all this out.
No, we will, but still just really sad. And there was another sad detail I thought of. Gene Hackman's daughters, who say that they have a really close relationship with him, but said they hadn't talked to him in months.
And no one had seen them, Gene and his wife, for 2 weeks, apparently.
Yeah, yikes.
So this might not have been, whatever happened might not have been a new thing that happened either.
Man. Just hope the people didn't suffer, you know.
He was 95, so led a great life.
But she wasn't. She was only 64, right?
I think the thing about the dog being in the closet is what I can't get over. And but by the way, we don't know if the door to the closet was closed. I don't know if I saw that detail.
Yeah, that's a good, I'm not sure.
Because like a closet, there's all different types of closets. You can have a walk-in closet that is...
more like a room.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I did a radio show with Bart Scott, who's a former linebacker, and we figured out that the size of his closet was the size of my entire apartment. It was 1,100 square foot walk-in closet that he shared with his wife was the size of my entire apartment.
I wish I was rich.
Yeah, but anyway, so not all closets are created equal,
right.
So it could have been, but it just was an odd detail.
Oscars this weekend too, so there's gonna be a lot of buzz about
nice segue.
This. Yeah,
well, I'm thinking they probably have to do a big tribute to him. Right?
No, they already like spelled out their plans. Because there's gonna be a separate tribute to Gene Hackman on the top of the normal little
memoriam.
Song. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was not a segue. It's part of the story, dude.
I didn't know where you were going with it.
No, I mean like everybody's gonna be talking about Gene Hackman. It's gonna be like the topic of the whole thing.
A two-time Oscar winner and what, a five-time nominee.
Yeah, I'm assuming very popular in LA, it feels like to me.
I forgot when we were talking yesterday about his credit list. Mm-hmm. He was good in Birdcage, too.
Yeah, we mentioned it, yeah.
I mean, everyone knows it starts and ends with The Firm.
in the non-firm category.
I can't believe you don't like The Firm. It's Tom Cruise.
I like the book.
He's running.
The movie is average.
A classic running Tom Cruise scene.
Well, we're... you know,
I mean, it's not.
You end up in the Bahamas, weirdly. Like, The Firm
Wilford
rocks.
Brimley's involved.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, let's go to Rotten Tomatoes, see if America agrees. 76% on the critic meter, 64% on the audience meter.
Disagree with you guys.
No, but
it's okay.
I think the point, at least for me, was I would have never, I don't remember Gene Hackman being in The Firm.
No, I don't.
Fine movie. I think it was very different from the book. I remember that being like a controversy that it didn't really follow the book page by page. But like, they would have never suggested that was a Gene Hackman movie.
I'm also surprised that he hasn't been in a movie since 2004.
Yeah, he retired.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, was that Welcome to Mooseport with Ray Romano? What is the movie, though? Like, I think there's an answer, but I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing.
French Connection.
Yeah. But that's like 50 years ago.
Yeah, it was in 70-something.
Hoosiers, I think, is close second.
Mm-hmm.
But Firm being third. No, maybe.
Pearl after listening goes, you and I have very different taste in
Unforgiven?
Yeah, Unforgiven
is a big one.
Yeah.
Birdcage, by the way, I agree. Birdcage, he's amazing. That's a great movie.
Everyone was good in that movie.
Well, we're about to do our... Have we announced what the bracket was?
No, don't say yet. Don't say.
Yes, we have very, very different tastes. Very different tastes.
And being part of that conversation for the first time yesterday, there's going to be a lot of controversy and confusion about what qualifies and what doesn't.
I know.
It's going to be more
controversy. We're talking about our bracket, by the way, the Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket. We're going to do our traditional one with Nick in Texas, who runs the Pearl Jam season 4? Crazy. Okay. And that will be your traditional bracket, and then we have our silly bracket.
Okay.
What is going on?
So we've talked a lot this week about the movie Anora. I put it to you guys, who I haven't seen it yet. Is it going to win the Oscar on
Sunday?
Don't
watch it with your daughters.
Is it?
Please, promise me.
Does anybody have an Oscar prediction? Because I think it will win. I think it's going to be the Oscar winner, and not having seen it.
I think
a
it's going to be
a long one.
It's going to be the Timothée Chalamet, Bob Dylan.
All right.
It's going to win.
I don't think it's going to win. It hasn't won anything yet. I don't think it's going to win the Oscar.
All right.
Yeah.
Curve to the left. Brutalist.
It's for these Oscar movies I never get around to seeing. Like, I can't remember the last Oscar movie I've seen.
Well, if the Marvel Argo, Universe maybe? Didn't make one, then DJ, you're not watching.
Yeah, I mean, facts.
You saw Argo?
I did. I loved Argo.
That's you loved
random.
Argo?
Loved that movie.
Huh. That's so funny. There are a lot of movies like that.
I know. It's not that I'm like against them. I just don't get around to it. I feel like I never hear about them until they're already good.
What about Dune Part 2?
I only saw Dune 1. I didn't see Dune 2.
Mm. You're not missing anything.
It's nominated for Best Picture.
I know. I wasn't a huge fan. The guy, Austin Butler, was awesome in it. But generally, the other thing, too, is like you liked Utah and Nora. I thought you could be blown away by it. You're like, it's good.
You know what I miss? I miss, for some reason, even though we have streaming services, the fact that they don't show this stuff on like HBO or Showtime. Like, I know it technically does exist, but like, that's ruined everything. That's how I used to watch movies. I just jump in.
Oh, mid movie.
Yeah, mid movie. Didn't matter. Like, oh, okay, this movie is supposed to be good. I'll just watch it. Now that I don't do that anymore, it's like, I miss everything.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption is always on TNT.
Pick it up
Goodfellas.
Anywhere.
Yeah, anytime. 100%. Maggie and I grew up the same way. Like, the cable movies defined our movie taste.
I know. Well, people like Manny, your daughter's age, Bogus's kid's age, like, who walks into a movie mid-range?
Manny and 4 preteens.
I mean, spot the lie. Manny's closer to Perloff's daughter's age than he is to my age. So, you know. 855-212-4227. This is why we need Manny around here. Tell us what the young folk think. And because we like
on
you.
Paw Patrol?
I'm not ordering a blow-up doll. M&P.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch.
Visit DirectTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, more fallout from the Luka Doncic trade. So
yeah.
We've gotten yet another article talking about Luka's love of hookah and beer. And the quote was, people inside the Mavericks predict his basketball demise, highlighting a health history that, as some see it, will likely lead to catastrophe in the next 5 years or so. We are getting way out of line with this Luka stuff. I mean, catastrophe, basketball demise over beer and a hookah? Does anyone not remember that Larry Bird, they had to trade away his best friend on the team because they drank too much beer together? You don't think people change, evolve?
Beer and hookah, that's like my Gatorade.
This is a bit keeping Manny alive. Like, does he have a meth habit that we're not aware of? I mean, I just, they're catastrophe, basketball demise. Like, it's getting way, way too crazy.
Yeah.
So that's one piece, and that was in The Athletic. Sam Amick wrote that, citing people in the front office or in the organization. Here's another one for you. Anthony Davis finally speaks, Pearl. Okay? So Anthony Davis spoke, and he was asked about whether he thinks, like, people knew about the trade, because he was totally blindsided that he was getting traded to the Mavs. And he says, and he said this to a newspaper, so there's no audio. He said, the front office has to do what it has to do, and obviously they're going to do what's best for the organization. So I don't know if I'll ever get the real story about any of it. I don't know what's true or what's not coming from upstairs. So my thing is, I'm going to go to my counterpart, who I've been running with, and see what's going on. Get his reaction, and that's all it was. We had a conversation, that was it. Quote, everybody's saying nobody knew and all this other bleep. I just don't believe it. He's talking about LeBron. So LeBron will swear up and down, Pearl, that he had no idea this trade was coming. And Anthony Davis, the closest guy to him on the team, Sharon agent, he's saying that is absolute BS.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense. Like, I get where Anthony's coming from. Like, why would LeBron not know about that?
I think he definitely did. And it was funny. My first instinct was, of course LeBron knew. Then I got kind of convinced, like, well, maybe he didn't know. I should have went with my first instinct the entire time. He definitely knew.
But there was an element of, like, everybody had to keep this quiet. So maybe, like, the less people that knew. Because, obviously, there's something bizarre going on. Like, if word had gotten out that Anthony Davis and Luka might be traded, then other teams would have swept in and offered the Mavs 10 times what the Lakers were offering.
Sure, but why do people think LeBron can't keep a secret?
I don't know. Because you're right, but I could see the argument for keeping the circle small. Because LeBron shares every thought on his mind, mostly on social media. That's kind of why.
Well, that's usually just about the NFL.
Or anything else. Yeah,
I think, though, LeBron knows that, you know, maybe he wanted this.
Oh, sure.
Right. So he would have every reason to keep it quiet, too. It could serve his interests. We saw how good it can look with LeBron and Luka the last game. Pretty awesome.
Also, LeBron owes the Lakers one because of Bronny.
Oh, I didn't think about
that. So, I mean, like, LeBron, the Lakers are like, well, we got to do this for the next 10 years. Are you on board? But that being said, I'm not totally convinced. Like, if I was if I ran the Mavs and Lakers, I could see keeping this as quiet as possible.
No, they had to.
Because of that,
but I still think LeBron knew.
Nothing leaked. Like, nothing leaked anywhere.
I think the inner circle includes LeBron. Like, without a doubt. I think it's Jeannie Buss. I think it's Pelinka and LeBron. And maybe, I don't even know if Rich Paul knew. Maybe he didn't know.
Yeah, because he's Anthony Davis' agent, yeah.
But I think there's probably like other, there has to be like other minority owners and stuff into the Lakers. Like, I bet they didn't tell Magic. I bet they didn't call Phil Jackson and ask his thoughts on it. You know, I don't think they expanded it out, is what I would guess.
Jay Moore, no. I mean, he probably overheard something, but he doesn't share the same bedroom with Jeannie Buss.
He lives on the first floor. She lives on the third floor.
Yeah, I don't know if Jay had access to that kind of information.
Thank you, E.J. Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos and Coffee Drinkers. Guys were fantastic all week long. Have a good weekend. We'll have a full Combine recap on Monday.
Adult toy-shaped feet.
I'm not ordering a blow-up doll.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.